It's good to see believers in the Lord assembled in His house this evening. We are looking forward to being together and seeing what God would have us learn from John 15. I realize that this scripture is inexhaustible, and we can extract lessons for our daily lives, but there is so much more that can be gleaned. If you have your Bibles open to John 15, that would be a benefit this evening. The scripture lesson we have here contains some very essential principles for believers. These principles are so important that if we fail to put them into practice, there is a sad but inevitable consequence: being cast away and burned in the fire. We, in our message this morning, were warned of what that is all about, the bottomless pit. This scripture here is shared by Jesus. It is very rich. It is very full of meaning. Jesus is the vine, and his Father is the gardener or vine dresser. Believers are the branches. Initially, Christ was speaking here to the 11 disciples who were with Him as He prepared to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. They were the branches who remained with Him. The branch, or the branches that didn't bear fruit and were cut off, are represented by Judas, who had already left in order to betray Jesus to the Jewish leaders that evening. Grapevines grew abundantly in Palestine, and it could very well have been that as Jesus walked along with His disciples, there may have been a grapevine nearby, which Jesus pointed out and used as a spiritual object lesson. When He spoke of the pruning procedures, He was describing what vine dressers did to get a good crop of grapes. Generally, young vines were pruned severely for the first 3 years. Then they were allowed to bear a crop. Non-fruit-bearing branches were cut back mercilessly to preserve the strength of the plant. And as Jesus points out in this analogy, the wood of the pruned branches was good for nothing. Couldn't build anything out of them. It wasn't really a value for firewood. And so these branches were burned in a fire. Notice the adjective true that precedes the word vine. I am the true vine. What does that imply? There are other vines that attempt to duplicate the true vine. Only by being connected to the true vine can a person experience spiritual life and bear lasting fruit. We're going to just pick out a few thoughts from this scripture, and I would like to paint a picture this evening. The farmer or vine dresser, what was he really like? What picture do you have right now in your mind of that farmer or vine dresser. I see a kind and gentle man who delicately and carefully does what is best for the vine. With love, he painstakingly cares for that vine so that it has the greatest amount of productivity. Nothing is done to harm that plant. On the contrary, everything possible is done to help and nourish what to him is his pride and joy. As the vine bears fruit, he gets the glory. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. This farmer, his love is beyond compare. The relationship between the vine dresser and the vine is supreme to all others. Verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Jesus was conveying to his disciples the love of a heavenly Father, a vine dresser, who cared for the vine, the true vine, Jesus Christ, of which we are now a part. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. That is how we continue in Christ's love. We keep his commandments. Not because we have to, but because we want to. That is a sign of our love as we keep his commandments. Jesus promises we shall abide in his love. The ultimate result is that his joy might remain in us, and that our joy might be full. This gardener or vine dresser has two primary obligations. What are they? Cut off the branches that bear no fruit, and prune the fruit-bearing branches in order to help them bear even more fruit. The word purge in verse 2 means to prune. It also means to cleanse. The translators chose the word clean in verse 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. It is the same Greek word that is translated purgeth in verse 2. In this context, it is consistent with the analogy to insert the word pruned or purged. And we could say, actually, now ye are pruned through the word which I have spoken unto you. It's the word that does the pruning. Through Jesus Christ, the vine dresser, actually, through the Father. Another part of the analogy is evident here. The Word of God is the pruning tool, as we mentioned. And to be effective, it has to be sharp so as not to damage the other part of the plant or the vine. And we know from Ephesians 4, chapter 12, or verse 12, for the word of God is quick or alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Charles Spurgeon said it is the word that prunes the Christian. It's the truth that purges him. The vine dresser would prune the fruit-bearing branches in various ways. Sometimes he would cut away the growing tip of a vigorous but unwanted shoot. Sometimes he would top the branch by lopping off a foot or two, or keep it from so that it would not grow too large or too long, and then possibly snap off in the wind. At other times he would thin the vine by removing unwanted flower clusters. In all this, the vine dresser's one goal was to make the plant more productive, to make it bear more and better fruit. When we make the spiritual comparison to the vine dresser's work with the actual grapevine, we see two kinds of Christians. First, there are those who claim to follow Christ, but do not desire to obey his commandments. Second, there are those who truly believe and who bear at least some fruit in their lives. I have to think within our own denomination right now. Next year, probably the end of June, the beginning of July, the annual conference and the homosexuality issue will be in discussion. It was interesting to hear some comments of the study committee. Brother Jim Meyer, to my understanding, was on that committee, and he stood firm on the word, using passages of scripture that spoke about the sin of homosexuality. And others on that committee, with a different view, said, well, that scripture isn't helpful. They weren't willing to take God at his word and dismissed it because it didn't fit with their agenda. Sad to say, I believe that they would fall into the category of those who are not willing or who do not desire to obey God's commandments. The faith of the non-fruit-bearing branches gives us a terrible warning. Those who profess Christ but do not remain with Christ and have no desire to obey his commandments are to be cast into eternal fire. Their end is destruction. But those who remain with Christ are those who abide. Now, what does it mean to abide? Are you abiding with Christ tonight? It's a key word in our relationship with the true vine. It means an unbroken connection. This is a connection that is also ongoing. A relationship with Jesus Christ is not a one-time encounter. It's not an occasional encounter, even. It's constant, it's dynamic, and it's growing. It's a relationship lived not week by week or month by month, but day by day and even moment by moment. As a branch that is alive because it is connected to a vine, so the follower of Jesus is alive because he or she is connected to the vine. The word abide is an imperative verb. The subject is you understood. abide in me, or you could say you abide in me. The action needs to be done by the branch. We are the branch or the branches. And the action is that of abiding. An illustration that would help here that I've heard already would be the concept of riding a bicycle. Maybe up a hill. And having that compared to abiding. What happens when we stop pedaling as we're riding a bicycle? We fall, or the bike stops, and we lose our balance, or we even go backwards. The other option is to keep pedaling and move forward. You can't stop pedaling. One way that helps us to abide in Christ is by reading and meditating on the Word. There are no substitutes. There are no shortcuts. Both abiding and pruning takes place by His Word. Have you ever heard of a gardener talking to his or her plants? Charles, you ever talk to the plants in the greenhouse? I heard already, seems to help them grow. That's what I've been told. I can't verify that scientifically, but I do know that God is talking to His plants. He talks to us, His branches, through His Word. What about bearing fruit? Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Every Christian bears some kind of fruit. If there is no fruit at all, what's the indication? That person is not abiding in Christ. The essence of the Christian life is that it must be spiritually productive in some way. A person may appear outwardly as if he is connected to Jesus Christ, but if he doesn't bear any fruit, he is really not connected to Christ at all. The Father's work with the fruit-bearing branches is one of carefully and lovingly pruning away that which makes us unproductive, trimming away sins, hindrances, evil habits, and we could go on. In order for us to gain maximum fruit-bearing capacity, how does the Father do that? One way is with trouble, even pain, and suffering. This is not to say that every Christian who is ill or suffers is necessarily being pruned. But in many cases, the Father allows trials and troubles to come our way in order to clean out our lives in certain areas. Our result, what God intends, is for us to turn to Him, turn to His Word for comfort, if we are genuinely seeking to be part of the vine. David shares this principle in Psalm 119:67, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." Have you ever noticed how much more sensitive you are to portions in God's word when trouble comes? Have you ever noticed that when you have a particular need or problem, certain verses just jump off the page as you read them? They minister to your heart. That's the Spirit of God applying them. We are benefiting from the Father's hand as He carefully trims away unproductive parts of our branch. Unfortunately, pruning has to be done with a knife. And therefore, pruning is always painful. There are times when we wonder if God knows what He is doing, because it hurts so much and it seems more than we can bear. And sometimes we wonder why God seems to be doing an awful lot of pruning on our branch, while other Christians don't experience the same type of pruning. But all we can do is trust. The Father knows what He's doing. The valuable lessons He teaches us through suffering and trials and troubles awaken us to the changes we need to make in our lives. What we need to add to our lives and what we need to remove from our lives. The Father causes this pruning in many ways. It can be anything from sickness to hardships, such as the loss of a job. It can be the loss of a loved one or of a good friend. Pruning can come through frustration, disappointment, interruptions, pressure, accident, or stress. God ordains all kinds of troubles, or at least allows them, in order to clean off those unwanted shoots, those habits, attitudes, practices that drain away our energy and rob us of our fruit-bearing capacity. Now, God doesn't do this pruning with vengeance or sadistic glee, cutting and slashing away with the blade, saying, "Bear more fruit or else you'll get what's coming to you." I don't see the vine dresser doing that. He does it as a loving heavenly Father for our ultimate good. He is right at our side, there to inspect, to observe every last part of the branch, so it will turn out the way He desires, so we will be bearing more fruit. What about that fruit? With all this pruning and purging going on, it makes sense to be sure that we know what kind of fruit we are to bear. One principle here for the believer in Christ: fruit bearing is a requirement. It's not an option. Scripture describes genuine spiritual fruit in several ways. First, fruit is Christ-like character. Paul put it in one sentence in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. You could say patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That list describes the character traits of Jesus Christ. We are to reproduce the life of Christ in us as we abide in the vine. But to bear the fruit of the Spirit, or any other kind of Christian fruit, we must understand this principle. The way to fruitfulness is through Christ. One of the most frustrating tasks in the world is to try to bear fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, on our own, in the energy of the flesh. We look at our lives and we see that our hey, we might be a bit short here on Christian love, or maybe another virtue, so we try harder. We got to try harder. We make up our mind and we work at it with more effort, straining to produce more love. Or we detect that we don't have peace in our lives, so we work at producing more peace, and we get more uptight than ever. Jesus doesn't tell us, get out there and bear more fruit. He simply instructs us to abide, to remain, and continue with him. And fruit will be the byproduct. It will appear on its own. We don't have to force it in the energy of the flesh. Abide with Christ, and you will bear fruit. Now, obviously, we have some responsibility. It is our own will that is needed to act upon the directives and commands of Christ. It is our will and energy that is needed as we make that effort to abide and remain. As we do, the fruit will take place. Not in the energy of the flesh, but in the energy that Christ gives us by the branches being part of the vine. Let me use this illustration. A couple years ago, the Associated Press released a study done by an agricultural school in Iowa. And it reported that the production of 100 bushels of corn from 1 acre of land, in addition to the many hours of the farmer's labor, required 4 million pounds of water, 6,800 pounds of oxygen, 5,200 pounds of carbon, 160 pounds of nitrogen, 125 pounds of potassium, 75 pounds of yellow sulfur, and other elements that we could go on and list, actually too numerous. In addition to these things, we'd have to consider something no man can produce: rain and sunshine at the right time, which are very critical. It was estimated that only 5% of the produce of a farm can be attributed to the efforts of man. If we were honest, we'd have to admit that the same is true in producing spiritual fruit. Another description of fruit is praising the Lord in worship. Hebrews 13:15 tells us, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. As we thank God in a spirit of worship, fruit is present. As that is done genuinely, it is fruit. It is a sign of being part of the vine, part of Jesus Christ. But note that all of this is done through Jesus, not ourselves. A third kind of fruit is good works. Even though we are saved by grace, not works, Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It's going to be a natural part of our life. Last evening at Brother and Alive, one of the Mennonite brothers who sang that evening. I could tell was wanting to talk to me, and he said something that kind of startled me, so I figured out what he meant. He said, "I understand that in your summer job, you're actually out there killing people." I looked surprised, and then he went on to say what he meant. He said, "You're a Little Debbie distributor, and so am I, selling product that actually is not healthy for you." Was what he was saying, and he was admitting to be guilty of the same crime. But then that led to a conversation. We had a lot of things in common at that point, and we're talking about the stores and the route that we run, and it inevitably came to talk about the advantages and disadvantages, but it inevitably came to one of the disadvantages, that's getting in and out of the stores and dealing with some of the receivers. And he said generally overall he doesn't have too much of a problem now, but at one point, one of the receivers, I won't mention the store's name, but it was a major food retailer, the receiver just gave him fits, made life miserable. But he responded in kindness, and as a believer, I think his life evidenced the good fruits, the good works. And he said he was quite startled one day when this receiver said, "You know, you are the best vendor we have coming in this store." And his reaction, which he didn't tell her, was, "Oh, yes, really?" And then I had to think of an illustration that happened just this past week. At one of the same stores in this chain, I was told by the receiver that vendors were no longer able to use the door that we were using. It was a lot shorter to the direction to the shelves that we fill, and we had to go the whole way around. It would be like going to my car up in the upper lot instead of going out the side door and up the steps. It would be like going out the back door, out the parking lot, around the back shed, and then coming to the car. And it wasn't so bad for me with one or two carts, but some of the bread vendors, they have 7-8 stacks of bread on dollies, and they can take only 3 at a time. And so it was very inconvenient to hear the news. And so she had the job of telling each of the vendors. And when she told me, I just simply said, "Okay." And she looked at me and she said, "You know, you're the only vendor who did not complain. Thank you." And I said, "Well, what would be the use? If I would complain, basically, I'm frustrating myself and I'm frustrating you, and none of us can do anything about it. It was a decision by management." Now, did that come from me? No. My natural carnal tendency would be to complain about that. But I can't take credit for it. I can only take credit through Jesus Christ and the change that he brings. Finally, the Christian bears fruit by winning others to Christ. Matthew 13:23. "But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, and also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And I had to ask, in what category do I fall as far as fruit bearing and winning others to Christ? This definitely would be included in remaining a part of the vine is that we would bear fruit, and the part of that fruit is winning others to Jesus Christ. Well, we see the benefits of being pruned are many. Bearing fruit brings happiness, joy, satisfaction. We experience answers to our prayers in our lives. The total result is that we should bring glory to God as we know Him and enjoy Him forever. May you, each of you, be blessed with the desire this evening to abide in Christ, to love Him, to desire a relationship that abides, that continues, so that you could bear much fruit.